Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Hour 3, you guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Casey, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful weekend upon us. We have golf back, and we have other sports trying to come back, and then we have MLB. So things are good. Things are good. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I know the golf is coming back this weekend. Like, how excited are you?
I have it on as we talk right now. I am excited. I'm ecstatic. It is great. It's good to have something a little normal back in our day-to-day life.
Yeah. Just get some sports back. I mean, I think I'm not sick of talking about baseball because I could talk about baseball, you know, all day, every day without issue. But I am sick of talking about and hearing about the negotiations. I'm excited about, you know, you and I talked on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast about potential solutions should the, final deal be 50 games, 48 games, whatever MLB decides on that they can enact without the players having to agree. So I'm excited to talk about that on Monday. But it's just, you know, we're not getting player news, which is much more fun. It's all about owners, and the MLB draft is a lot of fun, but yeah, you know, obviously I talked a lot with the Welsh about that already. So I know baseball is your bread and butter. It's your number one. It's our most popular pod that we have is our baseball pod. But are you where do you stand on talking about baseball kind of ad nauseum here?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it does get old, and I think people realize that also, like, they know it's my passion, and I tweet about it still to this day, even though it's just bad news everywhere. So I've been on more podcasts in the last like 2 weeks than I've been on, just people want to, because a lot of people are already moving on to football. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like Bill Belichick, we're on to, you know, we're gone. Like, but
we're on to Cincinnati.
Yes, exactly. So I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it all day. It's just frustrating kind of because we know the inevitable's coming. We know that it's the greediness of people. And like I said, I 1 or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, if it was the disease that was stopping us from playing, that'd be one thing. The right. fact that it's two very rich groups of people talking about money, that makes it very difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the states that are opening, we're getting this second wave here. It's a mess right now. 2020 can, you know what 2020 can do.
Yep, I said it in the group meeting rooms.
It could
a whole bag of them. A whole bag of them.
And gobble them up. Like, yeah. Kobayashi. Yeah, I mean, I'm sick of it too, but let's talk, you know, I don't want to be the guy that moves directly on the football, but the Welsh and I spend a lot of time on baseball. So let's talk some football here. And it is the middle of June as we're recording this, and I can't even remember when Todd Gurley signed with the Rams, but he passed his physical this week. And, you know, you and I have been on, we did the mock pod, mock 1.0 over at inthisleague.com on the ITL football pod. And my question then, and I'm going to stick to this, and I know that ADPs aren't going to work out this way. All right. So this is a player debate, but it's more about where the guys are going. And I mean, just the overall cost of these players. Todd Gurley is going in like the third round, you know, right around that, sometimes in the second, but usually in the third. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in our mocks, I think because I talk him down so much, is going in the third. But in a lot of spots, he's going in the second. So with Edwards-Helaire kind of climbing up boards, I don't know that Gurley is going to climb. He did pass his physical, but, you know, saying that you're able to walk is not the same as saying, yeah, he's good to go, and he's going to be the same guy that we saw 2 years ago, the number one scorer. I mean, he's only 25. Todd Gurley is the lead back in Atlanta, kind of regardless of anything, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is splitting time with Damian Williams. So what is your opinion on the player debate between those two players?
It's tough. I know we talked about it before. With Helaire, I'm good with the third round grade, but it's just getting crazier and crazier as it keeps going up the board. Like everywhere you look and turn, like you said, he's creeping into the second round. People are just touting him like crazy. And where's Williams going? This guy is a very good running back. We saw him do it late in the second half of the year into the playoffs. He did it the year before, almost in the same pattern. Is it like, let's use the Helaire's young legs early and save Williams for the playoffs again? Maybe. Andy Reid's smart, but it seems like an odd philosophy to think that CEH is going to just run wild in an offense with Williams, and there's still, you know, Thompson and other options there in Kansas City to move the ball around. Not to mention, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw it all over the place. Right. We know with Helaire, he can catch out of the backfield very well.
But so he can't block.
There you go. And you kind of want to protect that pretty boy. So
yeah, he was hurt last year, you know, exactly, and they still won the Super Bowl. So yeah. you don't want to mess around with that at all. I'm 100% with you on that. So, and I looked at Fantasy Pros ADPs, and I feel like this can't be right. Let me see the sources that they're using. This is also
standard or PPR.
Yeah, let me switch to PPR here. Let me see sources. So it's four sources. It's ESPN, RT Sports, FanTrax, and Fantasy Football Calculator. So Gurley in that situation so this is switched up. Standard, he's way worse for whatever reason, but he's 27 overall here. And then let me see what Edwards-Helaire is. 28. Yep. Okay, so I guess it is more of a debate, but yep. I feel like when people get a hold of draft guides, when people get a hold of, you know, just really diving into what the opinions on players are, I feel like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to go later than a second round pick. And look, I get it. You know, I get seeing the upside, and I understand everyone wanting to reach on him and all that stuff. But I think I would rather have Gurley for this year. And I know I've hit this point home a little bit, and people are probably tired of hearing it. You know, and even in the Fantasy Black Book, spoiler alert, my overrated is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So my overrated running back. But, and I'm the rookie guy in the magazine too. So, you know, I mean, it's too much hype on him, I think. Now, Dalvin Cook said he won't show up until he gets a quote unquote decent deal. And it's actually not terrible. He's not out there begging for, you know, Saquon Barkley money. He's not saying I'm not going to play until I get 90 million. And I know there's been a lot of articles. I mean, I think I woke up to three or four that say how the Vikings have all the leverage here. They have a decent backup in Alexander Mattison. They, the 2021 RB class looks really good right now. There's also going to be a ton of unrestricted free agents next season. So it doesn't seem like Dalvin Cook has a lot of wiggle room here to demand this money. But if you're the Vikings, don't you want to pay your best player so he's not disgruntled and he's not walking next year, and you don't have to play the franchise tag gamble game with him? I mean, what are your thoughts on Dalvin Cook going into the season? Because I think until Lev Bell held out and Melvin Gordon held out last year, we weren't really concerned with guys and contract disputes because they always seem to get a deal done or just end up showing up and, you know, taking their franchise tag the next season. So what are your thoughts on Dalvin Cook going into 2020 as it stands now? And it's early, but, you know, we don't have a solution here yet.
Yeah, obviously, if he's playing, I'm all aboard. Cook's a beast. We saw it work for the passing game and the running game. But the Vikings do have the leverage. We know we talked to Madison many times last year. I know you're a Madison fan. Boone's not horrible. You can always find a backup running back. It feels like somewhere someone's going to get dropped along the way. you can pull that out. And you mentioned the big thing is I was looking for the list. I couldn't find it right now. There's so many running backs that are free agents after this year. You mentioned Henry, and there's a slew of other ones that are going to be all getting paid. Mixon, I think, and some others all getting paid after this year. So the Vikings can flat out say, okay, do your thing. We'll just pay someone else more next year. Like, we'll make it work. And I guess on the bright side, like you said, Cook isn't asking for the world. He's not going like Ezekiel Elliott, pay me everything. I want to be the top paid back in football. But he wants to be respected, which I get because, you know, when running backs these days, you got about 4 to 5 years of life on those legs, and then they just throw you to the side. But and that's right about the time you start to finally get paid. So it's tough to get the big deals at running back. That's why we see more and more running backs held out. But the Vikings do have a lot of leverage, and it sucks saying the owners have leverage again, but they do in this scenario. So I'm on board with Cook, but it is something to think about because you mentioned with Bell, and when we've seen it with others, you have to at least pay attention to it now because these guys, like Melvin Gordon, these guys will sit out.
So, I mean, if you're doing a best ball right now, and I'm guilty of this because I'm bored right now. I've been doing a lot of best balls. I think I have 3 already. But what are your thoughts on taking him now? Are you just making sure to handcuff him? Are you avoiding him? Is he dropping down your board a little bit? What are you doing with him for people that are drafting, you know, the insane people that are drafting right now?
I'd make sure to handcuff him. I'd say that much. I wouldn't avoid him because I just have a weird feeling, like I said, with him not asking for the world, I think something will get done. I feel good about that. So I think he still plays, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal running back. And the fact that he wants this big deal and they might go somewhere else, they might just run him into the ground. So I'd go with Cook, but I'd try to make a point to handcuff him if you can make, you know, take Madison a round or two earlier. Just do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's smart to run him into the ground pretty much regardless, right? Because he is kind of proven already that if he gets too much, he's not going to stay on the field. I mean, I wouldn't say that he's injury prone. He's not Darius Geis at this point.
But he has an injury history.
He does have an injury history. And Darius Geis, I thought it was funny going into last year, and I was also high on him, and I'm still a little bit high on him. But Darius Geis going into last year, he's like, I didn't have an injury in high school. I didn't have an injury in college. I blew my knee in my first preseason game in the NFL. That's the only injury I've had. So draft me, and no, I'm going to be good to go. And then he only played 5 games last year.
Yeah, so he's frustrating because I was in on him too. I had him in a few places before he got hurt. And looking at the ADP right now, he's the 31st back off the field at pick 83. And as we've seen with trends so far, a lot of running backs are going early. Like, so if you can get him as like an RB3 or something, that just seems so darn tasty because that talent level is so good there. That Washington offense is young, should be getting better, especially with new coaching staff in play.
Did you see how carved up Haskins is?
Yeah, those boys, you know, quarantine life,
shredded.
It's helping some of these guys pretty well. Well, okay, different. I don't mean to detour completely. Have you seen guys get shredded over this little break? Have you seen the picture of Jokic?
Yeah, Nikola Jokic. Yeah.
Holy crikeys.
Jamal Murray was like, he's got a little 4-pack. And
he's not going to be able to play center anymore.
He'll still be able to center. But he looks like a different person a little bit. And it's funny because have you ever seen, try to find it on Twitter or Google or something real quick if you can. There's a picture of him and just type in Jokic passport and see if it comes up. Because he moved here when he was like, I think 12 or 13. I think he was a teenager. But his face is so fat. He looks like
humongous.
Yeah, yeah. You see it? So
yeah, he's like a kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right, right. He's Gunter. Yeah, yeah. Yes. That's what he looks like. So, or whatever the kid's name was. yeah, man. He's, you know, he has, you can just kind of see it even when he's 13. Like his body type is round, you know. We can relate.
It's cool.
Yeah, we can get behind that for sure. Yes. So it's got to be real hard to stay in shape. And everyone has complained on a consistent basis about, man, this guy is just never going to be in shape. He's always going to be just a bit big for the NBA. I mean, you can't be out of shape and play in the NBA, but you can be out of NBA shape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I saw the picture of him today or yesterday. He looks like a different human being.
He looks like Porzingis.
Yeah.
You want to like transition him? He looks, he's a tall, skinny guy.
He's more Porzingis than he is regular Joker.
Yeah.
For sure. So
I can't wait to see how he plays, because the reason why I said he can't play center, because you expect, you know, centers at that size are going to bang down low. Now we know Joker, he kind of hung out more and like to take the jump shots and maybe penetrate here. A little bit I remember from watching basketball. But right. Seeing him in that build, I'm like, okay, he's going to want to really sit outside for a bit now.
We'll see how he bangs, because that's going to be the thing.
The
very, very much phrasing. But we'll see how he handles, that interior defense and how he can withstand someone leaning up against him and stuff. I did find the list of 2021 UFA running backs. So it's Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette, Marlon Mack, Kareem Hunt, Chris Carson, James Conner, James White, Tariq Cohen.
It's an all-pro, like it's more than an all-pro list. Like literally, if you don't want to draft a running back next year and you don't mind spending a few bucks, you can get a knockout starting running back for a few years.
Yeah. You know, Joe Mixon has the same has at least threatened the same stuff that Dalvin Cook has. I think it's gotten a little bit less notoriety, mainly because he is, well, I wasn't going to say that. Surprisingly, I wasn't going to say that. But no, I think it's because he did it a couple weeks ago and then shut up about it. He didn't repeat it. He hasn't said it. And it wasn't yet football mode. We were still expecting baseball to come back on time. And
I bet AJ Green or someone called him and said, "Hey, bro, we finally got this team that might be half decent this year. Like, we're getting better. Don't ruin this right now, please."
Right. Or just explain to him how much the franchise tag is going to get him next year. You know, yeah, I mean,
a lot of money.
Seriously, maybe they let him walk, but if they put the franchise tag on him, which I would expect, unless they're picking very high again and want like a Travis Etienne or someone at the top of the board there, I expect them to tag him. And let's not forget, maybe you're not asking for Zeke money, but Zeke got $90 million, you know, so his annual average value is very high. So McCaffrey just got a new deal. Dalvin Cook's probably going to get a new deal to raise that average a little bit higher as well. So not a lot of leverage for Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon, but I think that they'll both get deals done before the season and go from there, because these holdouts are fewer and they're more far between than we expect them to be. It's just the last 2 years we've had two guys hold out. So when we come back, we are going to talk about Reggie Bush a little bit. I know we haven't thought about Reggie Bush for a while, but he is being reassociated with the USC. So that is an interesting story, and I'm happy to get Bubba's take here. So stick with us. We'll be right back on the Sports Grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.wcallme, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's segment two, hour three, in this league, on the Sports Grid. I'm here with Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm here with my friend, Casey Bubba, at BDantrick, on the Twitter machine. Casey, pump everything. Tell us what's going on. What are you doing?
Bench with Bubba, as usual. People are still listening to baseball, not as much as they were before, but still doing it a couple times a week, so that's tons of fun. I'm writing over at Roto Baller for whatever we can think about right now with baseball, but doing more audio video content there, hoping we get 50 games coming up here or something, hopefully more, but something. And then jumping on podcasts and helping with other things. So having a ton of fun these days. Actually busier now, it feels like, even though there's nothing to do, which is fun. So but more important, just find me on Twitter at BDentrick, and I tweet too much, tweet a bunch of stuff there, and come join the fun that is a Bench with Bubba.
Casey Bubba is the industry's boyfriend. I think that's what you are.
It's yeah. Better than the mistress, so that's good.
yeah. No, we can hold hands. It's fine. I don't have to keep you secret. So
not getting used. This is good.
Yeah, not used at all for sure. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Reggie Bush. Now, it was at the least. The worst kept secret probably ever that Reggie Bush was getting paid when he was at USC. I mean, they even made a joke about it, I think, in the it's not the Emmys. Why can't I think of the
ESPYs.
The ESPYs. Good Lord. Thank you. I think it was Jamie Foxx or somebody. Maybe it was Peyton Manning. But they said Reggie Bush is here and he's just upset because he had to take a pay cut to go play for the Saints. You know, I mean,
probably not
many. Many of these guys are getting paid. Many of them are getting paid. We've heard A-hole Chris Sims talk about how he was getting $100 handshakes at Texas, which I'm sure he really needed with his dad being a millionaire, but okay. You know, but there are plenty of these guys. We saw Maurice Claret driving around in a Hummer his freshman year. You know, the James Wiseman, the guy for the who played for Memphis a little bit, and someone mentioned this. It was if you look at the NBA, like the top NBA prospects for this year, it's like Anthony Edwards played a ton of games, Wiseman played like 10, the third guy, and I'm not up on it yet, you know, luckily they moved that back to October, the NBA draft, but the third guy played like zero. So it's weird with the NCAA and all that stuff. But you know, they found out that, you know, however it was that Reggie Bush was getting paid, and he got what I think then was a lifetime ban from associating with USC or the NCAA. And he also got his Heisman trophy stripped from him, which I said on CFB Winning Edge with Nick Allen and Xavier the other day. Why wouldn't they just give it to Vince? He should have got it anyway. But
don't be a homer. Come on.
Well, who won? Who won?
Bush won the Heisman.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But should he have? Hey. Yeah. Matt Leiner and Mike Williams and a bunch of other great players. Vince had Vince. You know, Texas players are good, but.
Are you going to give MVP awards back from steroid users?
I mean, I'm not against it. But that's harder to prove. We know Reggie. Who cares? Vince is probably getting paid too. They're all getting paid. Who cares?
Vince would have sold it by now anyways. He needs the money.
Oh, man. Yeah, that it hurts because it's true.
Yep.
It does. But I don't remember. I think maybe it was 2017 when the NCAA and an outside governing group. I don't know how it was. I don't know how this was decided or made. I wasn't paying attention to it. But the rule is now you're only allowed to keep a disassociation for 10 years. Now, if the university wants to keep it, or if the trophy, you know, the award, whatever. If they want to keep the disassociation, that's fine. But you're only allowed to mandate it through the NCAA for 10 years. The 10 years is up. And I don't know if it was day one, but it was recently that it was up. And USC has, you know, they are reassociating with Reggie Bush. And that's, Reggie Bush was an okay pro. He had some unbelievable moments, but his college career is really what he shined at. And I just thought it was always so stupid that, like, you know, yeah, this guy was getting paid, but so many other athletes are getting paid. And I guess the NCAA just wanted to make an example of a, you know, star player or whatever. But it was just so ridiculous to me, and still to this day is ridiculous, the disassociating. Because what are you supposed to do? Like, they took all of his posters down. They took his trophies away. You know, they unretired his jersey and all that stuff. Like, you know, what do you expect this guy to do? And what are we, when we go back and watch the highlights, what are you going to blur out? Reggie Bush running like he's Japanese pornography? I mean, come on. He's, you know, he's part of the history of the game.
Let's be fair. You've never watched blurred out Japanese pornography.
Not for long. So, I mean, I'll give it a little bit, like, oh, this kind of looks, oh, that's about how far I get.
Gotcha.
I have a secret show about the weirdest thing I've ever watched on the internet, and it was Japanese porn.
Sounds like a must listen to already.
Yes, yes. But anyway, what are your thoughts on, you know, just disassociating and things like that and Reggie Bush being reinstated?
The disassociating is so dumb. It's absolutely ridiculous, especially when these guys make these universities so much money, like ridiculous amounts of money. And I guess now that these guys are getting paid, it's going to be harder to disassociate with them now. But what Reggie did for that team, for that school, him and Leinart and company, like, that's just dumb. I'm glad that he's back in good graces, I guess you could say. But my question is, now that he's back and kids are getting paid or going to be getting paid, are they going to give him his Heisman back? They're going to retire his number? Like, are we going to get back to Reggie Bush as actually a human being that was a part of a football team that did great things? Or are we just going to, you know, erase him from everything? Is it cancel culture came early at USC, or how'd this go? But I'm glad he's getting back into it. I'm just curious to see how he – does he jump in saying, hey, I want to help out the program? Does he want to be in the booth because we see him do TV work now? Or does he want to just be down there on the sidelines and hoping Kim Kardashian sees him again? I don't know. But there's lots of angles, literally, that Reggie Bush could to take on this one.
I remember I was working at a pizza place, and Reggie Bush was in the commercials for it. And I'm on the phone with this lady, and she's saying she wants, I want the deal that Reggie Bush had. And I was like, oh, all right, I know the coupon. Like, I'm putting in the coupon for her. And then she added some extra stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be extra money. She said, well, that's not what Reggie Bush said. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to tell you. You know, maybe it's different at other stores. Ours is, you're going to get charged extra for adding extra stuff. She's like, Reggie Bush didn't say that. Like, she was like yelling at me about Reggie Bush in this commercial.
Must have been Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Seriously. It had to have been that level of intelligence,
yes,
for sure.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
which actually, I heard that lady like put all of Honey Boo Boo's money away for college, but
which is a shocker. Another shocker.
I mean, I would not have picked that if I was drawing cards. You know, if I was playing futures on Honey Boo Boo's mom, it would be spend all of the money on spaghetti instead of, you know.
Scratchers, cigarettes, and maybe some white Zinfandel. That's what I'm thinking with Honey Boo Boo's mom. Like, I can see it now with her feet in one of those inflatable pools outside in a broken lawn chair.
This is a lie, ain't it?
Yes, right. That's what I see. What, out of curiosity, what was Reggie Bush's order? What was the advertisement? If you remember.
I think it was just like a large pizza, unlimited toppings for, you know, X amount, whatever it was. But it's like extra cheese is always more, you know, different crusts are always more. And, you know, I mean,
just like anything in life.
Right. I mean, this was right after Reggie Bush, you know, won the Heisman and stuff. And he was on the Saints, and he was, you know, in the NFL and stuff. And I'm like, ma'am, I don't know how to explain this. Like, it's one of those things where I want to scream in the phone, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you, which I know. is an a-hole thing to say, but it's also like when this lady is giving, like, Reggie Bush didn't say that. She kept saying it too. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, lady. Lawyer up. All right.
Does she come sue us. Does she believe Santa Claus is real?
I guess, you know, I don't know, but that was a funny Reggie Bush story that I remember. Like every time I see Reggie Bush, I think Reggie Bush didn't say that though. Like it's what comes up in my mind every single time I hear his name. Now, on a more serious note, in college football, there has been a lot of dredging up of some bad behavior by coaches, which I think is good. I think these things should be uprooted, upweeded, you know, and maybe you don't have to, like you mentioned cancel culture before, maybe you don't have to fire these guys. I think a lot of them you probably do, but maybe you don't have to fire everybody, but you have to at least acknowledge that these things happen and that this person is going to change, what they've done in the past and understand why it's a mistake, right? And Dabo Swinney and the Clemson coaching staff has been a big mess. And this is just off Roto World. I think our guy Thor Nystrom probably wrote this up. I know he does that a lot. But this is just straight off of Roto World, what it says about Dabo. And it says, in a tape statement, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney defended his decision to keep tight end coach Danny Pierman on staff after Pierman's use of a racial epithet in 2017. Pierman's comment was made to former tight end DJ Greenlee, who explained the state that in to the state, I think that's the whatever the outlet is. And at 2017 practice, coach and I got into it, and I was speaking with one of my teammates. He heard me use the N-word basically tried to correct me, saying the N-word back. That's when he said in his statement that Pierman was profusely apologetic when the two coaches spoke in private following the incident. Sweeney said that he would fire a coach immediately if he called a player an N-word, no questions asked, but made the distinction that Pierman was not using that word in reference to Greenlee, merely repeating what he said, what he had heard, in effort to emphasize that we don't use that kind of language. Swinney stepped to Pierman's defense in noting that his incident was totally out of character for Pearson, whom the head coach has known for 30 years. While there's no punishment for the verbal incident, Swinney insisted in his video remarks that there wasn't anything swept under the rug and that the incident was handled head on. And look, these are ugly things that we don't want to talk about, of course, but you know, this is why we have to talk about it, because it's uncomfortable. And there's other coaches, you know, I know the Iowa strength and conditioning coach, highest paid strength and conditioning coach, has been accused of way uglier things than this. And his son already transferred out. Looks like he's probably going to get the boot. He's in an administrative leave. Do you think it's hard to say that Dabo is wrong or right in this scenario, but do you think he handled this correctly?
That's really tough.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say the right things, because this is one thing that's happened. Twitter's never the place to do these things, but
of course,
I've had a lot of tough discussions, because I just want to have normal discussions on these topics, but it's hard to do in the right spaces.
It's charged right now. And that's
any little thing you say wrong just goes off the rails.
Of course.
So that's like, if Dabo's people are good with it, if Dabo's community is good with it, not just the white community, if Dabo's group around him is good with what took place, then I'm okay with it.
Now, DeAndre Hopkins has come to Dabo Swinney's.
That's what I've seen some things defense. Of. So it's like, because you know, the first thing people will say to me is, well, you're a white guy, you don't have the right to decide if that's right or wrong. So
of course, yeah.
So that's one thing I want to like clarify is, if everyone around that situation is okay with it, then I'm fine with it. Because sometimes when I thought it should be right or wrong, I've been totally completely on the wrong side of it without knowing. Right. Not even South on purpose.
South Park explained to us, Bubba. Yes. They said, you know, in the Wheel of Fortune episode, it was, I get it. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they said, now you get it. You know what I mean? So understand, we're just coming from where we can. I don't understand everything here.
I think... good things are happening right now. There's a lot of great things happening along these routes, and they need to continue to happen. I think there needs to be more open discussion and realize that a lot of people don't know the answers. but working together are going to know the answer. So maybe Dabo worked with the right people to do it. You mentioned the Iowa situation. Every situation is going to be different too. Every one of them.
Yes, yes.
So like you can't just make a blanket statement that, you know, this one thing happened and everyone got the same consequences. That's never going to be the case ever.
Of course.
But I think the more it gets out there and discussed, and you mentioned it, it's the uncomfortable conversations that need to be discussed. So those are the ones that get things fixed. So I think it's a good thing that it's happening in the spotlight. I think it's good it's happening to bigger people like Dabo and company. And yeah. I think he did handle it right. The one thing with Dabo, if I can just tweak this a little bit, he's had a lot of questionable things that started even since COVID started. Like he's on planes, right. He was supposed to leave his house. He's wearing a shirt that said football matters, like right in the middle of black light. Like he just makes a lot of questions that aren't moves and statements that make you wonder, like there's so much tone deafness right now that just blows my mind. All
his logic doesn't add up. And you know, even before COVID and before, you know, the most recent, you know, Black Lives Matter stuff going on in our country, like just the way he handled the media, I thought was weird. You know what I mean? Like saying that they've been knocking us the whole year. Like, dude, you've been ranked 2. What are you talking about?
You're in the ACC. Like, we can't put you over the SEC. Get over it. Like, just get over it until you beat them.
I don't think Dabo is a racist by any
stretch
of the imagination, but I do think that he's tunnel visioned. Yes. I think that all he cares about is football. And that's because only caring about football has got him to where he is in his life. And I think he has that tunnel vision of, you know, block out everything else. Football is the only thing that matters. And that's the whole point of the Black Lives Matter movement is, no, you can't have tunnel vision. You have to see what everyone else is seeing right now. Hopefully he gets that, but we do have to go to a break. Didn't mean to put you on the spot, Bubba.
No, I'll talk about it all day, but it's just a tough one to talk about.
Absolutely. So we will be right back after this break. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. Endless love time. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the show. This is the last segment of the 3-hour tour with myself, Casey, Bubba, and the Welsh. If you guys would, please check out InThisLeague.com or Patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got all kinds of stuff up there for you. We just did a secret show last week. So brand new one plus about 80 others that you can go back and listen to. They're very, very funny. I promise you, if you think I'm kind of funny here, I'm much funnier on those. It's just, I can say more things. You know, we have rankings, all kinds of rankings. I just ranked 1,000 college fantasy football players. So I have that list up and I have a color coded broken down by which quarterbacks are in a camp battle, which running backs are splitting carries, who's in a running back by committee, who's the number one target at wide receiver for their team, who's going to split targets, all kinds of stuff. It makes it easier, especially for you first-time college fantasy football players. I have PPR rankings. I have dynasty football rankings. I've got first-year player draft rankings up there. The Welsh has got over 500 minor leaguers, including all of the guys that got drafted that need to be put on his list as well. He already updated that as of yesterday. We've got baseball rankings up there. We will make more baseball rankings when we get an official announcement of how many games are going to happen. So all kinds of stuff, you know, and for 10 bucks, that's all for $5. If you want to move up 10 or 20, you can get in the GroupMe rooms where you have direct access to the Welsh and I on a daily basis. So please check it out if you would. Bubba, way more stuff to talk about. You know, hopefully, like we said, with the college football stuff, the coaches that are the real problems get weeded out, you know. And definitely, I think kind of putting a bow on the Dabo Swinney conversation here is I would ask DJ Greenlee what he would want to see done. He's the guy that pointed this incident out, and how can this be rectified in his eyes? Is it too late? You know, I would like to know what DJ Greenlee has to say about that. And, you know, I think Dabo should be less, you know, like we mentioned before, he's got that tunnel vision. I think he should be less defensive of, you know, bad behavior and just say, hey, look, this isn't something that we're going to accept. You know, maybe put him on leave, talk to some of your players, talk to DJ Greenlee and see what you find as the best solution. Maybe the guy does need to be let go. I mean, the players that have stuff to say about him, if this is the only incident and this is really the only thing he said, then maybe you bring him back. But it's a good thing that we're having discussion about these things.
Well, it's like the Drew Brees incident where he just kind of said the thing. And then we saw the Twitter explode from all his African-American teammates that were not happy about it and around the league. But then, you know, Michael Thomas came out and said, you know, we talked about it and we're brothers and we're teammates. We all make mistakes. We got to learn from it. And I've heard it from a lot of people. I heard Matt Barnes, he's a very outspoken individual in this whole thing in the California area. And he was talking about Brees and he says, I was shocked when I heard it. I was angry. But then I sat back and I realized I haven't been in his shoes. Like, he hasn't been in mine. So let's figure out how we can make it work together. That's where all this comes from. So,
right.
Is it right or wrong? Who knows? But it needs to get fixed. That's what we do know. So
Yeah. It needs to get fixed. And just people need to understand, you know, this has been a boiling point. This is something that, you know, we don't see on a day-to-day basis and African-Americans do in our country. So we just need to make things right for everybody, not just for some people. So, you know, this isn't something I was planning on talking about. It's something on the sheet, but I figured we would talk about it here. So I think that was a pretty good discussion. So now, going back to more NFL football. Now, look, I want to get your take, Bubba, on hearing things in the media about players. Now, I have said before that when a beat writer writes something about a player in the NFL, I, in general, go, okay, great. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. You know, that guy, of course, is closer to the team than I am, but where is he getting this information? Where is he, you know, things like, there are things that just can't be refuted. Like, you know, Nine News, Mike Kliss said that QB Drew Lock has been throwing daily to Jerry Jeudy. That can be refuted. You know, you could go and say to Drew Lock, hey, have you been throwing to Jerry Jeudy every day? And he says, yes. Okay, boom, we know the answer, right? But there's other things like the coaching staff still really likes Corey Davis in Tennessee, which, what are they supposed to say? No, we took him in the first round, and he's a loser, bust, a-hole. Get him out of here. Like, are they going to say that?
No, that's almost as bad as, you know, a free agent's out there and everyone knows they're supposed to sign. They'll sign. They could sign as early as today. Yeah, no S.
Like, they could. Yeah.
Tell me something we don't know. Yeah, they're not going to say, yeah, you know, we haven't liked what we've seen from Corey Davis. We spent a high draft pick on him. We're not really liking what we saw the last couple of years, but we're going to still run him out there as our wide receiver one or two, and we're just going to see what happens. Does that sound like a good idea, guys? You Titans fans, you cool with that? Is that going to work for you? Because I'm pretty sure if I was a fan of that, I wouldn't be happy. You know, for us fantasy guys, that'd be good to know. But He's not going to come out and say that stuff. It's just, that's stupid.
Yeah, they still really like him. I was like, yeah, of course they do. Yes. You know, he's on their team. They're going to like that guy. You know, now if he leaves and they're like, oh, God, what a worthless ass pick that was. That guy was terrible. You know, then, okay, we know how they really felt. But at least in the public eye, you're going to have teams saying that, of course, they like that guy. So I just like my big thing is, and I'm the complete opposite in college fantasy football as well. And like the thing with college fantasy football to me is, if you hear anything about a player, if there's any type of buzz, because there's so many players that already isn't in the national spotlight, right? You have to take that and run with it a little bit. Like, I know you don't follow college football as hard as I do, but in Florida, right? Kyle Trask is taking over for Felipe Franks. Felipe Franks transferred out to Arkansas. So he's the quarterback now. And they have this three-headed monster at running back. And they have these wide receivers that are all really highly recruited. It's Florida. You know, they're going to get good players. But, you know, Van Jefferson got drafted. He was the main guy last year. And even then, he was still just okay in college. Much better. I think he's going to be a much better pro. But they have Trevin Grimes, Kadarius Toney, who is like, you know, a really good kick returner. He's more of a weapon than a wideout. And then they have this guy, Jacob Copeland. And I think because Grimes had a big spring game last season. He scored 4 touchdowns. He had over 200 yards and 10 catches, but he had like 23 catches and 2 touchdowns on the season, right? So, yeah, there's some stuff there for Grimes, but then I read it in The Athletic that Jacob Copeland is the guy that's expected to make the big breakout. I know that's an opinion, but I kind of take that with a little more, like I actually use that in college fantasy. If they said Josh Reynolds is expected to break out for the Rams, I'd be like, says who? You know, because we have so much access in the NFL. The coaches talk every day. The players talk every day. There's stuff on Twitter. You know, it's just so much more accessible. And the coach's opinion is so much more widely known in the NFL that when I get a beat writer's report, unless it's something that can be refuted, like I said, with Jerry Jeudy and Drew Locke, I try to push it away. Sometimes it, you know, it crawls back in and I go, oh, but I really like this point. You know, and some of it is not even beat writers. It's, you know, why did the Chiefs take, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round? If they weren't planning on using him a bunch, right? Mm-hmm. That's our guy Chris Harris from, you know, Harris Football, used to be on ESPN. He calls that a crutch argument, and he's absolutely correct in that it is a crutch argument. You know, it's saying, well, just because they did X doesn't mean Y. You know, This isn't a math problem. This is something completely different. And if you use that assumption, why did Rashad Penny not get anything in Seattle? That's a first round pick, right? Wasn't expected to be a first round pick either. Pretty talented guy coming out of San Diego State. Same thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was 4th on most people's boards. Now, he was in that group of, you know, really good running backs to a lot of people, not everybody, but to a lot of people. But, you know, it's these little things that buzz players up boards a little bit. And I think you just need to know when to consider them and when to let it just be noise in the background. So coaches, teammates, and teammates are still 50-50. Yeah. Because just like the coaches that said, we still really like Corey Davis, what are they supposed to say? Yeah, we were at practice today, and he really sucked. Like, yeah. James Washington, you know, that'd be like Roethlisberger saying, he can't catch a ball. You know, I don't know what he was doing out there. It's insane. He's so bad. He should not see the field ever, you know. But you'll hear things from coaches. This guy's doing really well. We got to get him in more sets. He had a great week of practice, that kind of thing. I take what coaches say more than I do what beat writers say. So what kind of things do you suss out when you're looking at the noise? Because the NFL is overcovered at this point.
Is way overcovered. And you kind of mentioned something like in there that whatever our argument is, we'll find a way to justify it somewhere. There's so much stuff out there. If it's right, wrong, whatever, you can find and go, yep, that's why it's good. Told you. So that's definitely out there. I agree. Beat writers are out there to either really stir up drama or just give you the blah. It just all depends, because a lot of coaches, they have like their close beat writers they like a lot, like the Glazers, the Mortensons, and those guys that they send info to kind of leak out to let things go.
Right, right.
And then there's the city by city, like the Athletic, well, at least they used to have like multiple beat writers for every team and stuff like that. And those guys aren't going to have the same access. And I'm with you. If the coach says something, it's almost like it's cryptic. He won't give you the whole answer, but just like a little this or that will tell you that he's kind of favoring one person over the other, or little things along that line where the beat writer's never going to talk about that. The beat writer's going to talk about, yeah, they're working on running a three wide receiver set now, and they're going to run Josh Reynolds out of the slot. Okay, that might be interesting. That might be helpful. But you're not going to they're not going to say, hey, in reality, we're going to run Josh Reynolds out of the slot, and we want to target him like 4 to 6 times a game. Like, that's something that we could use.
Like Bruce Arians saying, you know, we're going to run 12 personnel.
Yes.
That's going to be our base set this year. That has an impact, right? Because we know now Chris Godwin's not going to be in the slot nearly as much as he was last year. He's going to be playing out wide. So is Mike Evans. And O.J. Howard's going to be on the field probably every down. I would say O.J. Howard's probably on the field more than Gronk is.
Gronk's not coming on there to block all day.
Right, exactly. And they still have Cameron Brate too. Yeah. So, and we were all kind of going like, why wouldn't they trade O.J. Howard during the draft or Cameron Brate during the draft if, you know, if...
It's about Gronk's health is what I'm thinking.
Well, and also, if you're going to be playing 12, you got to have three tight ends because you got to rotate those guys. It's a brutal position.
One quick shot to the knee, and now you're down a guy.
Yep, exactly. So it makes way more sense now that Bruce Arians came out and said that. We don't expect that because we see Bruce Arians' offense. We expect, you know, four wide and, you know, throw the ball. And especially, you know, I think 12 is going to be what they want to run most of the time, but get down a couple scores and you got Tom Brady. You're going to be slinging it and you're going to have more wideouts on the field for sure. So, you know, and that's another thing you got to consider. So just some of these things. I mean, there was one about the Eagles receiving situation here, which I have said, I'm trying to just stay away from this, but Mike Kay from NewJersey.com said that DeSean Jackson is expected to be the Eagles' top receiving threat this year. What do you think about stuff like that?
It's way too early to be concerned with that, because with D-Jax, he's more of a – we know what kind of receiver he is. He's not really going to be a guy that's going to get you a ton of catches. He's going to go deep. He's also a guy that has trouble staying healthy as he gets older. So it's like, okay, so you want to be your top threat? That's cool and all, but – you have Zach Ertz, you have Dallas Goedert, you have a slew of other receivers, young receivers that you've been drafting. You have Carson Wentz there. It's hard to imagine that D-Jax is going to be the go-to target.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I went through this with the Welsh during the mock. I was like, DeSean Jackson, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Alshon Jeffrey, Greg Ward, Jalen Reagor, who they just drafted. They also drafted Hightower. They drafted Watkins. They have Goddard and Ertz. You know, they have so many options. That's why I've been I have just been avoiding that Eagles situation like the absolute plague. I don't want to mess with it at all. What about Judy throwing to or Locke throwing to Judy every single day recently? Are you interested in Judy more because of that? Maybe Drew Locke bumps up a couple notches because he has a lot of, you know, he's got a lot of weapons now. What are you thinking about Judy and Drew Locke?
I'm not going to jump on Judy like any more than I already liked him, because I like the receivers. We talked about the rookie wide receiving class. It's just ridiculous, the situations there. I do like it with Locke. You need to get that rapport built between these guys, and without the full-on training camps and whatnot, that's an important situation. So I like seeing Locke get out there. I'd love it if Sutton was out there with him, maybe some Noah Fant, get the whole crew together. But I think it's good because Locke can start teaching the kid the offense and all that kind of stuff. It's big for Judy. I think that's a very, very big step. It's good. It might bump him a little bit, but I'm not going to overdo it.
Yeah. Judy, you know, I have Judy fairly high on my board for a rookie wideout. And I think, you know, him versus CeeDee Lamb, you know, CeeDee Lamb has Gallup there, right?
And
Amari, he's got to fight him off. Sutton is on the other side. We know DeShaun Hamilton ain't going to work out. And then, of course, you know, they drafted KJ Hamler as well. So I sent something on your phone there. So, I think just the thing here is, you know, like, I'm not moving Corey Davis because of, you know, I'm not moving Corey Davis at all because of this stuff. So, and you shouldn't either. Maybe you want to move Drew Locke a little bit. Maybe you want to move Judy a little bit, but you're going to get these rumors and you're going to get these opinions from beat writers in the offseason. So let's not take them too seriously, but that's it. That's the whole show, everybody. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BDentric for Casey Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we will see you guys next Saturday. Enjoy some sports. We got golf and stuff this weekend. So let's go enjoy it, and we will see you next Saturday. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.